What's going on, Blue Jays fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. You can find my work on Twitter, at Weiss Sports, where you can find me on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. Of course, the Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's episode, we are continuing our off-season coverage. We have some, of course, news to talk about in terms of qualifying offers, some awards that were won by Toronto Blue Jays, and, of course, continuing our conversation on trade targets, this time focusing on the pitching. And I am once again joined by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
You know what I love about the offseason is that there is always so much to talk about. At least right now there is. There's just rumors flying about and awards being given. It's really just a fun time right now.
Well, it certainly is. It certainly is. And I feel like a lot of people are just loving it just because they may know that an imminent CBA lockout might be taking place. I feel like some people are just soaking up all of the optimism they can with these rumors. But it's certainly exciting if you're a baseball fan and if you're a Toronto Blue Jays fan, because look, as we're recording this on Tuesday, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he got the finalist yesterday for MVP, being second on the MVP voting ballot. And he is now, Jen, the Hank Aaron Award winner for best offensive player in the American League. Look, we did a whole episode on Vlad Guerrero Jr., what his 2021 season was. And again, I just feel like, again, it's getting properly recognized. He probably won't win MVP because of Shohei Ohtani's season, but he did have an incredible offensive season, and for him to get the Hank Aaron Award for being so young as well, I just think is an incredible accomplishment.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking at his at Fangraphs right now, just at the table of hitters ranked by F4, and of course, from the AL, and of course, Vlad is ranked number one with Marcus Semien behind him. So again, just incredible season from the two of them. But, you know, as we all know, you know, Guerrero led the American League in just so many different offensive categories. And, you know, even if we look over at Baseball Reference, you know, he also leads their measure of offensive war as well. So really, you know, to have gone from sort of, you know, a struggle in 2020 to an MVP caliber hitter in 2021, just again, as you said, at such a young age, just really is, you know, incredible. And we really, as fans here in, you know, Toronto, or fans of the Blue Jays, we were really lucky to see such a great season from him.
Well, just to add some even further context to this award that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won, youngest player to win the Hank Aaron Award, 22. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep that in mind once again for a moment. 22 years old, and he's winning a Hank Aaron Award, top offensive player in the American League. And he's actually, Jen, the fourth Blue Jay to win this award, joining Carlos Delgado, Jose Bautista, and Josh Donaldson. And of course, we know what those three players meant to this organization. So for him to already be included with those all-time Blue Jays greats at such a young age, the best is truly yet to come for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
You just named those players, and I was envisioning like a Mount Rushmore of Blue Jays players, and just, you know, that was the vision that I had as you were rhyming off those names.
Now you mentioned a player, Marcus Semien, and some news came down on a late Monday night, right after we recorded. Actually, classic how that always seems to happen when news falls down, but. Not surprising, Jen, that Marcus Semien will deny and decline his qualifying offer. And I would not be surprised if Robbie Ray will do the same. Look, the Blue Jays are going to get some compensation if Marcus Semien signs elsewhere. And really, I think this is just the beginning of what we thought. That the chances of Marcus Semien coming back are very slim.
Right. And I think that that's something that, unfortunately, fans are going to maybe have to make their peace with. You know, assuming all of the reports are true that he'd, you know, prefer to play on the West Coast and that he would prefer to move back to shortstop. You know, short of the Blue Jays going, you know, way above and beyond what any other team might be willing to offer, you know, I think that it's Marcus Semien is no longer a Blue Jay. But what a, you know, heck of a season from him. Again, you know, fans were treated to some really great baseball on behalf of Marcus Semien.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you're starting to hear the teams that are in the mix for Semien. I mean, Seattle is in the mix. And yep. Apparently Seattle's a team that wants to spend and are definitely going to be in those sweepstakes. I've always thought the Bay Area, I mean, that's where his family's from. That's where he just probably, you know, feels most comfortable. And who knows, right? But I think, given what he accomplished, and we've talked about this ad nauseum with him getting, you know, the MVP top three and the Gold Glove, just an incredible season. And I think what he taught a lot of younger Blue Jays players from an intangible standpoint will definitely be a lasting legacy of Marcus Semien here with the Blue Jays. But I also wanted to just touch on, too, because, you know, the GM meetings are continuing. And Ben Nicholson Smith of Sportsnet, you know, wrote a really interesting column on sportsnet.ca. And one of the themes that he was talking about is the internal optimism that the Blue Jays won't have to sell themselves, and I'm quoting Ben here, quite as much. And that free agents will be eager to play in Toronto, just as they were following the team's playoff appearances in 2015 and 16. He goes on to say that at least one prominent free agent is said to have approached the Blue Jays to gauge their interest. Jen, that's music to my ears. I mean, I know we're early in the offseason. But I think it should give Blue Jays fans confidence that we may not get Semien back. Maybe Robbie Ray walks, but there are free agents out there who are looking at the Blue Jays and say, damn, I want to be a part of that winning culture and potentially a team that could really take a next step in contending for a World Series.
Well, for years, the perception amongst Blue Jays fans has always been that the Jays have to overpay to get anybody to come to Toronto. And we've actually seen that be true. You know, they have to add an extra year, for example, to entice a player to come north of the border. But when you look at this team objectively, you look at the lineup that they have, you look at how close they were to making the playoffs. You hear the front office saying that their, you know, payroll is going to increase. They're looking for, you know, ways to improve upon last season. And you also know that this is something that the front office intends to sustain for, you know, the foreseeable future, that's very attractive. If you're a free agent, you know, you want to sign somewhere that not only is going to pay you, but where you have a really good chance of winning, because that's the goal. Winning is fun. Winning is the ultimate goal of an athlete, right? So yeah, I mean, that is absolutely refreshing to hear. And, you know, I'd love to know who it was, but, you know, absolutely refreshing to hear. And, you know, I've been saying all along that I really think that at some point this offseason, the Jays are going to do something that is going to make people, you know, really sit up and take notice.
Well, hopefully that happens soon, but we are going to be patient and we are going to continue our thoughts and our offseason coverage, including Jen trade targets. Mm-hmm. We talked about the batters yesterday. Today, we are going to focus on the hitters. That conversation coming up in just a moment. But first, let me talk to you about Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but isn't so full of calories and sugar. Well, the perfect type is Built Bar, the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious like Built Bar, and you will certainly feel good about it. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein. Now, where do you buy Built Bar, you may ask? Well, you go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. As part of the Locked On Podcast Network, I want to thank all the Blue Jays fans of baseball who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. So, Jen, we're continuing our trade targets conversation. Today, we're focusing on the pitchers. And I give the floor to you because I think this is going to be very fascinating for the Blue Jays, because it's interesting because I feel like there were so many high-end free agent targets for pitching. I mean, the Scherzers, the Verlanders, the Kershaws, and even more. But how do you evaluate the potential trade targets for the Blue Jays when it comes to filling their rotation?
Well, the key obviously is to look for teams that are intent on shedding payroll, right? And there are already rumors floating around regarding three teams in particular that might be looking to trade, particularly their pitching. So for example, John Heyman of the MLB Network tweeted earlier this evening that the A's GM, David Frost, said they're willing to listen on everyone. Everyone is potentially on the table from the Athletics organization. So there are a couple of different pitchers that the Blue Jays could reasonably target. One name that obviously stands out is Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we saw earlier or last week that the Athletics actually let manager Bob Melvin out of his contract. He signed with the Padres and the Athletics didn't receive any compensation in return. Right. So a very clear indicator that they are looking to shed payroll. Manaea is a left-hander entering his age 30 season. He had a shoulder injury that kept him out for most of 2019, pitched in 2020. And then last year he started 32 games, 179.1 innings pitched with a 3.91 ERA and 1.23 WHIP, good for a 3.3 F WAR. So, you know, despite the injury in 2019, he was able to show last year that he has rebounded and is durable. He's owed just over $10 million next year and then is a free agent. So, you know, other good signs, his velocity was actually up a little bit last year. So he's somebody from Athletics that the Jays could reasonably target, as is Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt is 32 years old. He's a right-hander. Started 27 games for the Athletics last season. 157.1 innings pitched. His strikeout rate was up over his previous season. His walk rate was down. Pitched to a 3.15 ERA with a 3.3 F4. He's owed $8.8 million next year, and then is a free agent. Interesting thing about him. So if you look at his numbers, he has an excellent home run to fly ball rate, but that's of course at Oakland Coliseum, which has that expansive, you know, territory out there. But he has a career hard hit rate of 32.7%. That puts him in the 88th percentile. And so that might bode well in a hitter friendly park, such as Rogers Center.
Yeah, those are two interesting names. And I would even argue, and another interesting one from the Athletics is Frankie Montes.
Yep.
He to me, when I was doing research for this, like he really stood out to me. I mean, this is someone that, you know, 6'2", 255 pounds, career high, 187 innings in 2021. I mean, this is a guy that has a really impactful split finger fastball. He limited the hitters to just a batting average of 126, a whiff rate of 51.4% in 2021. And the thing about him is, you know, this is a guy that's he's probably going to receive votes down the ballot, Jen, for Cy Young, 4.1 F war this season. You remember our conversations about it trying to replace that war with guys like Ray and Matt's lead? Well, Montes could be that guy. The thing is, though, I think for Athletics pitchers, it's just going to be the cost, right? And you know, but I think with Montes, he's projected for a $5.2 million salary in his second trip through arbitration. So he's control. He's affordable, Jen. And right, he has 2 years of control, which is, I think, what the Blue Jays need to be looking at when they're thinking about trades, because they obviously want guys that are good, but that can stay a couple years when this window of contention is still present.
Oh, I completely agree, right? You don't want to get a one and done. You would like somebody who is going to be on the team for, you know, at least 2-3 years to participate in that window of opportunity. You know, Montas, if you take a look at that contract, I mean, he's so affordable, but that just drives his cost up, right?
Right.
So that's the other side of it, right? He's more desirable. I mean, he's coming off of a career year too. So, you know, he's more desirable from the point of view that you would have him on your team longer. But then that just drives up the cost of acquiring him. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways if the Blue Jays wanted to deal with the Athletics, you know, there's a couple of different ways that they could sort of go on this. It all depends on, you know, how much prospect capital they're looking to, you know, they'd be willing to part with, of course.
Well, for sure. And that's what it comes down to. Are they willing to, you know, trade prospect capital for pitchers? We just talked about batters yesterday. So it's going to be very interesting to see what position do they value more for the, you know, for the trades. The other interesting team, Jen, is the Cincinnati Reds. And they're a team that, again, trying to lower their payroll, trying to be sellers. And to me, I would argue that the top target, if I'm looking for Blue Jays to get a pitcher, is Luis Castillo, I would say. The issue with Castillo, though, is
yes, is
that he is someone like, look, 3.61 ERA over the last three seasons, never made the IL since making his MLB debut in 2017, which is wild, absolutely wild. But again, I mean, projected to come away with $7.6 million in his second year of arbitration. He's going to probably command the largest, you know, pay of Cincinnati's controllable group. So he's, to me, an all-in target, but you got to be worried about the price tag to get a guy like Luis Castillo.
Right. And he, you know, he's also the subject of rumors. John Morosi of the MLB Network was reporting that the Reds are open to discussing a trade involving Castillo. So, you know, how serious they are in trading him remains to be seen, but the name is out there, right? And the name is probably out there for a reason. You know, what I like about him is that he has always had a very high ground ball rate. Last year, his ground ball rate was 56.6%. The best ground ball rate by any Blue Jay starter last year was Ryu at 46.8%. So again, that plays well in a stadium like, you know, like the Rogers Center, keeping the ball on the ground, you know, rather than, you know, putting it in the air. But that's the thing, you know, he would be a front of the rotation type of guy, you know, particularly when he is at his best. But given his cost, given the fact that he's not a free agent until 2024, you know, you have to imagine that the cost to acquire him would be fairly high.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, there are other interesting options here for the Toronto Blue Jays trade targets, including with the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about those targets coming up in just a moment. But first, let me check with our friends at betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. And again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, we just left off with Luis Castillo, Cincinnati Reds, but there are more pitchers on the Reds who the Blue Jays could look at for trade targets.
Absolutely. So another name that comes to mind would be Sonny Gray, 32-year-old right-hander. He did deal with various injuries last year, but he still managed to start 26 games through 135 innings. You know, Gray would be a mid-rotation guy. He's due to be paid, you know, $10.2 million next season, $12 million the following year. So, you know, relatively inexpensive when you're talking about starting pitching. You know, because he is a mid-rotation guy, he would probably cost less to acquire. You know, again, if you're just looking at his numbers, one that stood out to me in terms of being able to potentially play well at the Rogers Center is that he's in the 91st percentile ranking for hard hit balls and the 92nd percentile ranking for barrels. So he doesn't get hit hard is what I'm saying. And again, keeping the ball in the park is important.
Yes. Very, very important there. And then there's also Jen Tyler Mahle again. I mean, he's mm-hmm. 2 years away from free agency. He pitched you a 3.75 ERA over 180 innings in 2021, 27.7% strikeout rate. Again, you know, 5.76 million projected via arbitration. He's another guy that I think could be, you know, he's underpaid. He could be another target that the Blue Jays look after, you know, look at if, you know, they want to make a deal with the Reds who are clearly looking to shed payroll.
Right. Absolutely. You know, there are several pitchers on just these two teams alone that the Blue Jays could arguably, you know, you know, come up with a trade package for. So I'm sure that that is something that they're going to be discussing, maybe even laying the groundwork, you know, right now during the GM meetings. You know, they'll absolutely do their due diligence on the on these players that we've just talked about.
Now, look, so you know, those are some of the, you know, the higher end, you know, more attractive trade options, but there may be some other ones, Jen, that might be brewing that are more under the radar. One name that's been sort of floating around out there is Kyle Hendricks. And mm-hmm. Kyle Hendricks, of course, you know, used to be with this club, right? Way back when. And he's, to me, an interesting piece because he could be sort of a buy low target, if you will, right? I mean, this is a guy that, you know, his ERA jumped to, you know, 4.77 this past season. He could be maybe a back end piece in the rotation. There's 2 years left on the deal. He sort of reminds me like a, you know, like a Steven Matz type, right? You know, where he could fit in that sphere. I also look at, you know, maybe, you know, again, the bullpen is very interesting, right? So, I mean, did the Blue Jays go and maybe fill some of their bullpen pieces this early in the offseason? So I look at a guy maybe like a Taylor Rogers, right? You know, one of the dominant left-handed relievers from the Minnesota Twins. He posted a 2.95 ERA and, you know, struck out over 10 batters per nine innings since the start of 2017. What are your sort of thoughts on some of the lower, you know, some of the under the radar targets that the Blue Jays could go after in trade for pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that there's, you know, rumors regarding so many teams and so many guys that there are, you know, numerous different directions that the Jays can go in. So I've always maintained that I think they're going to spend, you know, the bulk of their free agent money on a starting pitcher. I think they are going to go after a higher end free agent pitcher, which then means that they're, you know, they might be looking to fill the back end of their rotation or the middle of their rotation with somebody who's more under the radar. And then that's where I think a trade might come in. So, you know, really at this point, you know, everything is on the table. With the bullpen, I think that is perhaps less of an issue, as we talked about on our, you know, previous episode when we reviewed the bullpen. You know, they have four guys who seemed solid last year, quite a few pieces to sort of already fill in around there. I have a feeling that the bullpen will be maybe the last area of need for them to address.
No, makes sense, especially with the emergence of Tim Mesa and whatnot. But look, Jen, I mean, you know, as we wrap this up, I think again it goes back to just how challenging it is for a front office and whatnot in terms of maneuvering pieces and making decisions in terms of figuring out what to do. And it's hard because, I mean, we talk about these trade targets and whatnot, but I think it all has to, you need to wait and see how the offseason is going to unfold. And I'm going to be honest with you, I like the pitchers that we've talked about, but I would rather, if I'm the Blue Jays front office, go after someone in free agency, right? Use that payroll to go after maybe one of the more higher, you know, maybe one of the higher end targets like we talked about in a previous podcast, because you just don't know, right? You don't know how it's going to unfold. I think there are some interesting pieces out there, but the trades to me are more meant for the deadline, I would say, because that's more, you know, your rental, you're figuring that out and you're trying to get over the line. Whereas I feel like this offseason, it's going to be very interesting to see, are teams willing to spend? Are they willing to trade? Who knows? But I would argue this, The Blue Jays are probably going to do more of the bigger pieces through free agency than maybe some of the more complementary pieces with some trades.
Yeah, that would absolutely be my guess. Just an interesting side note, Gregor Chisholm of the Toronto Star has been reporting that Atkins has been asked about Gabriel Moreno so much over the last 24 hours that he compared the hype to Vladdy. So, you know, the Blue Jays have at least one high-end prospect that is garnering a lot of attention. Now, I personally don't think that the Jays are going to trade him. I think he, you know, has too much potential that the Jays are going to want to see through. But it's just interesting to note that, you know, he's been asked about so much. Clearly teams are trying to, you know, sniff around and see what the Jays might be willing to part with for a trade.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly very interesting. And I think, again, it's just going to depend, right? It's just going to depend on how the offseason unfolds. But I think that this is what the GM meetings are all about. This is what the winter meetings are all about, to begin those conversations, right? Because that way, maybe that can start something. Maybe you can, maybe you talk to the Cincinnati GM about these pitchers or Oakland and just gauge what they're willing to do. And then maybe down the road, you then unload and make that trade.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I don't think that the Blue Jays are going to, you know, jump on anything unless just an incredible opportunity happens to come their way in the next, you know, week or so. But, you know, right now, now's the time to start having those conversations and laying that groundwork. And, you know, again, with the CBA looming, you know, who really knows where all of this goes, but I think the Jays are in a good position to, you know, through trades or free agency, you know, fill the various needs that we've identified.
So to wrap it up, I think if you're a Blue Jays fan right now, you got to be really excited about this offseason. Now, let's just leave CBA aside for a moment because that could delay things. But I think there's a lot to be excited about, Jen. This is, you know, we've had off seasons in the past where the Blue Jays aren't much, right? And are probably not going to change much of their team or their sellers. And it's just, you know, part of the rebuilding process. This is an exciting time right now. And I think similar to last offseason, you're just going to need to wait and see what the market dictates. But the Blue Jays front office is not afraid to make the necessary moves in order to win. And I think especially now, they're going to be willing to unleash. And if that means unloading some prospect capital or maybe spending a little extra on the payroll, I think if you're Blue Jays fans, you say, why not? If it increases your odds to win, you're going to have to do it because of who you're potentially losing. Mats, Ray, Semien.
Well, you know, and that's the great thing about being on the other side of 2017, 2018, you know, 2019 right now, right?
Sure.
You know, those were not fun seasons. There have been a lot of Blue Jays seasons that were not very fun if you were a Jays fan. And we are now in this period where, you know, there's so much to be excited about and, you know, there's more money to be spent and, you know, the window is open and it's a great time to be a Jays fan because there is so much to look forward to. And, you know, quite literally, you know, from every rumor to, you know, every little bit of news leading up to opening day, it's just going to continue to build that excitement.
Absolutely. And we will be the place to break down the rumors, the official news, hopefully very soon when that comes down the pipe, which will be very exciting and probably will require some emergency podcasts of the Locked On Blue Jays, which is always fun. But we have to wrap it up here, Jen. But first, before we go, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
That is MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Of course, our offseason coverage is continuing. We're going to have some more guests on the show, so stay tuned for that. Really excited to have some more guests and crossover episodes. Now, make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets. This is your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, it's hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. That podcast, of course, is a free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. For Locked On Blue Jays, I'm Lucas Weiss, your co-host. Have yourselves a wonderful night.